Our text is the text that Daniel read from Matthew chapter 19. In the name of Jesus, Amen. Our text sets before us three different kinds of people and shows their relationship to the kingdom of heaven and to the heavenly King himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look first at the rich young ruler and others like him. Secondly, Peter and his fellow disciples. And thirdly, last but not least, the children. First, the rich young ruler. This young man is a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, a pious, righteous young Israelite, an expert in the Old Testament scriptures, and a faithful observer of the Ten Commandments. Like Paul in his days as a Pharisee, as far as the righteousness of the law is concerned, this young man is blameless. He has an impeccable record. All these things, he says to Jesus, all these things I have kept since my youth. He has a lot of righteousness of his own to display before God and before others. And he thinks that a good relationship to God depends on what he does. What shall I do, he asked Jesus, that I might receive eternal life? And he certainly has a lot to show. He has accumulated a lot of treasure on earth. In addition to all his moral treasure, all his ethical attainments, his whole treasury of merits, if we could put it that way, in addition to that, he has a good deal of earthly wealth and possessions. But then comes the shock. Jesus tells him, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Where's your heart? Jesus wants to know. Is your heart set on things on earth? Or is it set on the things of heaven and the Saviour from heaven? The young man goes away sorrowful, for he has many treasures here on earth and doesn't want to give them up. Second, our text depicts Peter and his fellow disciples. Peter doesn't begin his speech very well. He begins by patting himself on the back and saying to the Lord, look, Lord, behold, Lord, we are very different from that rich young ruler. We have left everything and followed you. And this was true. They had left everything and followed Jesus. Peter and Andrew, James and John had all left their fishing business and devoted 3 years of their lives to following their Lord. Matthew had given up his profitable business as a tax collector and followed Jesus' call. The others too had all left behind their former vocation, their families, and devoted themselves to following Jesus on the way for the sake of his name, as our text puts it, because they saw in him the way, the truth, and the life, and heard in his voice the voice of the heavenly King. But then Peter wants to know, Lord, what's in it for us? What do we get out of this? And in that respect, he's no better than the rich young ruler who wants to have something in his hands, something to put on display that will earn God's favour and reward. Now the Lord Jesus gives Peter two answers. First, he answers him very gently and encouragingly, and he assures him, in the words of verse 28 and 29, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. And Jesus is saying to Peter and the others, yes, you have left everything. You've left everything for my name's sake. You've cast your lot in with me. And for my sake, you've made many sacrifices. And I assure you that you will continue to be with me throughout your life on earth and in glory. Here on earth, you will receive many compensations for the sacrifices you have made. You will receive new fathers and mothers, new sisters and brothers. And more than this, just as you were born anew through faith and baptism, united with me in my death and resurrection, so you will share in the consummation of that baptism, in that great palingenesia, as it's called in this text, the new world. The new birth is what it literally means. That great new birth which you will receive when you pass through death and enter the new world, the great new world of the resurrected life, and sit with the Lord on his throne. This is a wonderful assurance to Peter and to us all. But then comes the Lord's second word. And this is a word of serious warning, that many who are first will be last, and the last first. Don't start priding yourself, Peter, the Lord is saying. Don't start priding yourself on the sacrifices you've made, on all you've given up for the kingdom. Don't fall back into the way of thinking that the kingdom and the king's favour is something that you earn, something you merit. Don't think it depends on what you have to show, what you have in your hands. And then in the next chapter, and this has been called by one commentator a rather unfortunate chapter break, because it hangs so closely together with chapter 19. In the next chapter, Jesus goes on to the great parable of the labourers in the vineyard, where every labourer, regardless of how many hours he's put in, receives the same reward, the reward of grace, which God bestows on everyone simply because he is good and gracious and generous. Friends in Christ, there's great encouragement and serious warning in this text for us as well. All of us have given up much to come to the seminary and to study to become pastors. And Jesus encourages us with the same assurances he gives Peter and the disciples, that he will take good care of us in this life, that he will continue to be our helper, and that finally he will bring us to that heavenly kingdom, where we will sit with our Lord on his throne. But that same warning, many who are first will be last and the last will be first, that applies to us also. Don't pride yourself on what you've accomplished for the sake of Jesus' name and his gospel. Don't think that you have something in your hands that you can show. It's all been by grace. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Or as we've just been singing, by grace I'm saved, grace free and boundless. It's a wonderful hymn. The third group that our text shows us is the children. These little people have nothing in their hands to bring. But Jesus said to them, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. May the Lord give us all such childlike hearts by his grace. Amen.